BC Alaska announces its plans for logging in the Tongass. And exactly how prevalent is homelessness in Haines? That's difficult to say. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. It's hard to get a true sense of how big a problem homelessness is in Haines. There is no shelter or centralized service tasked with responding to homelessness. Right now, a patchwork of local organizations helps out people in need, but even they aren't sure how large the problem is and what the solution should be. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
We had one guy in here when I first got here. He was slept in the back there for 6 months until he could get back out to Chilkat Lake.
Lieutenant Dave Kyle is a Corps officer at the Haines Salvation Army. He's let a few people use this building as a shelter. He points back behind racks of secondhand clothing to a room where five or six people have slept over the past 3 years. Kyle says he's on sketchy ground letting people stay here when they have nowhere else to go. This isn't a licensed shelter.
Yes, I do tend to push the envelope a little bit in regards to helping my community.
Sierra Jimenez works for Southeast Alaska Independent Living, which serves seniors and people with disabilities. SAIL and the Salvation Army are two Haines organizations that seem to deal with homelessness the most. Local churches, Lynn Connell Counseling, and the police department also help sometimes. They often provide one-way ferry tickets to Juneau, to the Glory Hole shelter. That happens
several times a year. And I don't know that it's a solution, but it's the solution we have here in Haines. That generally is for somebody who is chronically homeless, truly has no place to go and no resources, and a shelter is the only option.
Roger and Judy Clay were in that situation when they showed up in Haines more than a year ago. KHNS brought you their story in December. Here's Judy.
When my PFD check come in that 1 year, had already, without even telling Roger, I'd already made the decision that we were going to come back to Haines, one way or another.
Why'd you make that decision?
I was getting real frustrated on the stress I was under and not having a place to live.
The Clays came to Haines from Anchorage. They slept in the Salvation Army building for a night or two, and then they were sent to the Glory Hole in Juneau. It wasn't until they got disability income that Jimenez was able to help them successfully apply for a government-subsidized apartment in Haines. When people like the Clays show up, Jimenez and Kyle say it would be nice to have a shelter for them, but they're not sure if there are enough homeless people in Haines to make a shelter worth it.
You know, it's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that, because it would be so nice to have an emergency bed or two for families that come through while we try to put the pieces together. That would be the dream, the ideal situation.
Yes, ideally a shelter would be an excellent deal for it, but in the emergency sense, in the crisis sense, I don't think that we have enough.
Kyle says helping people who are at risk of becoming homeless is a bigger concern here than helping those who are already homeless.
Homeless care is very low on my expenses radar. I just helped a family out with $1,300 worth of rent assistance. Another family at $65 for electric, another family at $75 for electric. I just sent the guy to Juneau for $37. And I haven't helped anybody with homeless. Last person I helped was...
But all those people, if they didn't have a Salvation Army to go to for that kind of help, who could face homelessness, potentially facing
exactly.
Homelessness. Jimenez also says helping people who are maybe a paycheck or two away from homelessness is a more common problem in Haines.
Sometimes somebody just needs help 1 month financially with rent or with food, and then they can kind of be back on their feet. Other times people need education and help, you know, budgeting and understanding how to not run into the problem in the future. There's so many levels. There's been folks in need of medical care, and they didn't have the finances to do that. There's every different story.
After KHNS's December story on homelessness, Haynesboro manager Dave Sosa contacted the Salvation Army and SAIL to set up a meeting, which hasn't happened yet.
There's, plenty of room for discussion on these issues and, you know, take a look at what's the scope of the problem. Because I know there are some homeless people, but I don't know how many.
But if he wants definitive numbers, he's not going to get them. There are a few local organizations responding to homelessness, but there is no organization tracking it. If people want to put a number on homelessness in Haines, it will require taking a leap and setting up a centralized service, even though the scale of the problem is uncertain. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Sea Alaska says it will begin logging its new lands later this year. Federal legislation passed in December turned over 70,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest to Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The first two parcels to be cut will be on North Election Creek on Prince of Wales Island and the Cleveland Peninsula north of Ketchikan. They add up to about 3,400 acres of old-growth forest near land Sea Alaska's already logged.
And those are smaller, but they're adjacent to some existing operations, so those will probably be the two areas that would see activity first.
Sea Alaska General Counsel Jaylene Arujo announced the plans at the recent Tongass Advisory Committee meeting in Juneau. The 15-member panel is helping craft the Tongass's transition from old to young growth logging. Almost all of Sea Alaska's 70,000 Tongass acres is timberland, split into 9 sites, most on or near Prince of Wales Island. Older forests make up more than half that acreage. About a third is growing back from previous cuts under Forest Service management.
So I was not of the opinion that that legislation was going to go forward.
Forrest Cole is the Tongass's top official. While the Forest Service agreed to the legislation, its passage altered timber sale plans, including on an island off Prince of Wales' west coast.
So we basically started a fairly large project on Kosciuszko, and now that Sea Alaska's happened, we're going to have to take some of that project out and see if we can pick it up elsewhere on the island.
Cole says the sale should be planned out by midsummer. It's near the community of Edna Bay, which opposed Sea Alaska's takeover of the forest lands. Arujo says the corporation's new Kosciuszko land, plus additional acreage on nearby Tuxican Island, contain the largest stands of its new second-growth timber. Once the legislation takes effect, Sea Alaska will become the state's largest timber company by far. Arujo says it understands its role in the regional economy is changing.
Obviously, we do provide a benefit to our shareholders, but we also benefit a lot of local businesses where we operate, and a number of contractors do depend on us.
Southeast Alaska's timber industry lobbied for the land transfers. Alcan Forest Products' Eric Nichols, a Tongass Advisory Committee member, says Sea Alaska logging will help preserve the region's markets.
It also helps support the infrastructure that's out there in non-logging, float planes, barges, scaling companies. So all these people now have a little bit better degree of certainty, and we will hopefully will quit losing so much of our infrastructure that helps support the forest industry here in Southeast.
Anytime that public lands are taken out of public hands, it's a cause for concern for everybody across the country.
Andrew Tomes is executive director of the Sitka Conservation Society and another advisory committee member. He hopes Sea Alaska will sell timber to regional mills. Now it's stripped of branches and bark and sold as logs, mostly overseas.
The old growth resource that we have on the Tongass is limited, and it's a shame when we see it exported overseas in the round, without any processing or manufacturing in the region. And once that old growth resource is gone, it's gone.
Sea Alaska cites a study showing its log preparation work provides jobs to about as many people as processing in mills. But Arujo says it will look harder at in-state sales, forest restoration, and other issues that come with taking over 70,000 acres of the Tongass.
Our board wants to better understand mitigation, wants to better understand domestic processing, wants to better understand how we can maybe be our own contractor. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that we're looking at now that this has happened.
Almost 98% of the acreage being transferred is timberland. About 1.5% is for other economic development, including energy production. The remainder includes about 75 cemetery and historic sites. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS tonight. You can find most of our stories on our website at khns.org.